Carrying on here, looking at the question of whether a believer can in good conscience consume alcohol. And we're looking at Isaiah chapter 28, looking at verses 7 through 10. Isaiah 28, 7 through 10. We look at the fact that they have erred through wine. We also see that the Israelites here had gone out of the way with strong drink. And as believers, we're supposed to stay in the middle of the way of righteousness, not to deviate from it, not to the right hand nor to the left, right in the middle. We also see in verse 7 that back in our text in Isaiah, that they err in vision. Let's read that verse again. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. So they err in vision. The primary interpretation of that Hebrew word used here speaks of a seer or prophet. When the Israelite people and their spiritual leadership use alcohol, that prophet or that spiritual leader was perverted and would not speak the word of the Lord. Let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. So they would err in their prophecies. Now, these verses that we're going to look at in two passages in Jeremiah, they don't speak specifically about alcohol, but they speak about the prophets prophesying wrong. Jeremiah 14, verses 13 and 14. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. Their prophecy unto you, that they prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. And then he goes on to say that because of these prophets that prophesy his name, that he's going to send sword and famine, and that those prophets would be consumed. Let me take a look at chapter 23 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. We'll read verses 15 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So that would, the alcohol, now again, this does not speak specifically about alcohol being used here, but we can, we're just looking at the fact of prophets prophesying, erring in their prophecy. And we see in our text that in Isaiah chapter 28, that the prophets, they err in their vision. In their prophecies, they err. And that is a natural product of drinking alcohol, is that our spiritual discernment is clouded over, and we err, both as a people and also spiritual leaders. Now the last phrase in that first verse there, the seventh verse of Isaiah 28, it says, They stumble in judgment. They stumble in judgment. Hold your place there, and let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We read verses 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. We will come to the verses 6 and 7 at a later date. If you're thinking, aha, there's evidence that we can drink alcohol. But we're focusing in right now at verse 4 and 5, particularly at the fact that people, and in this case it's the king, but it could be any person, any leader, any individual, they forget the law and they pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So they stumble in judgment. They make the wrong decrees. Judgment speaks of passing sentence, and the Lord always wanted to see proper judgment, righteous judgment. He spoke out a great deal, especially in the book of Proverbs, against perverting judgment, about receiving gifts to pervert judgment, bribes. And we see here that alcohol would cause the people and their judges to make wrong decisions. They would stumble in judgment. Now let's go back into our text. So let's read verse 7 again. But they have also erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Now notice verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. I wanted to talk about the medical effects of drinking alcohol. And a rhetorical question for you, but do you think that God would want us to drink something that would cause us medical problems? That would cause us to vomit? You know, back at my house there, I mentioned earlier that Claire's got stomach flu. Claire's on one little couch. No one's allowed to sit with her. She's not allowed to sit with anybody else. And nobody wants what she has. I don't want it. I've got no desire to get that. And why would God give us the opportunity to, or why would he allow us, want us, to drink something like alcohol that would cause us to throw up, to vomit? No, it makes no sense. God gives us, He gives us things that we're supposed to eat, that are healthy for us. You think about the Israelites, and those laws that He gave them, many of them were because they did not have refrigerators. You think of the fact that they could not eat pork and various crustaceans. They didn't have a means to refrigerate it. And there was the higher likelihood of receiving trichinosis from it. So God went into great detail and He put those restrictions on them so that they would not eat something that would be harmful to them. Let's talk about some of the things that alcohol, this is a, I believe it's the top 12 things that alcohol will cause, or can cause, I should say. Sometimes a person can drink like a fish and it has no seems to have no impact on them. And somebody else, it will have a very serious impact on them. One is anemia. I've got all these from the website webmd.com. And according to this website, heavy drinking can lead to anemia, where the oxygen carrying cells of the bloodstream are abnormally low. And some of you have had anemia, or have had loved ones that have had anemia. And that causes a host of problems in itself: shortness of breath, a lack of energy, various other things. Another thing is that it can cause cancer. And some of these statistics are to do with excessive alcohol. Some of them have to do with just drinking alcohol, chronic use, just regular use. And with cancer, scientists see a link between chronic alcohol consumption and cancer, where the body converts alcohol into acetaldehyde, which I think is like a preservative. They use it in embalming, which is reportedly a potent carcinogen. So the body makes that conversion, and it's a potent carcinogen, and it can create cancers of the mouth, the oropharynx, the esophagus, the stomach, the colorectal area, just to name a few. And even breast cancer was one of the ones that I read. And speaking of the esophagus, many chronic alcoholics will have esophageal varices, where you've got an area where where you can have a large burst of blood flow, and a person can die from that, where the blood vessels are damaged in the esophagus. So, cancer. Third one is cardiovascular problems. They can get platelet aggregation or clot formation. They can also, which can lead to strokes, can lead to heart attacks. They can get cardiomyopathy, where you've got an enlarged heart, and it becomes enlarged, and it's not able to pump as effectively, as efficiently as it should. It can lead to atrial fibrillation. I mean, there's many people that have that have never touched a drop of alcohol, but this is one of the side effects. It can also lead to ventricular fibrillation, which is a lethal rhythm. Fourth one, very familiar one, is cirrhosis of the liver, and which can be, often it can be lethal, where the liver cells are destroyed or even damaged, sometimes to the extent where they're unable to function, the person dies. Can cause dementia. Apparently, our brains atrophy 1.9% every 10 years, but with alcohol, it's substantially higher. I didn't see a statistic on that, but with alcohol use, it is substantially higher, and it can lead to dementia, early dementia, and very serious. Number five, it can lead to depression. I guess there's been a debate over the years about what, you know, the chicken and the egg. Did the person drink alcohol because they're depressed, or did they drink alcohol and become depressed? Apparently, there was a very large study in New Zealand which indicated that it was people that drank alcohol became depressed. And I could see that. I mean, when you look at the social problems that it causes, the physical problems that it causes, it'd make me depressed. Seventh one is seizures. Heavy alcohol use has been known to cause seizures or to trigger seizures in people who have no known history of a seizure disorder. Again, of course, there's people that have seizure disorders that never touched alcohol. But these are just some of the side effects. Another one is gout. Number eight, gout. It's known to be one of the causes of gout, and will aggravate existing gout. Number nine, high blood pressure. And it's, if a person is chronically drinking alcohol, especially in large amounts, it can lead to hypertension, which is, as you probably know, another name for high blood pressure. That can lead to kidney damage, kidney failure, cardiovascular disease, and stroke. Number 10 is infectious disease. Heavy drinking suppresses the immune system, which then in turn makes a person more susceptible to various diseases. Number 11 is nerve damage. Heavy drinking can cause a type of nerve damage called alcoholic neuropathy, which can cause painful pins and needle sensations in the extremities, but it also can affect the nerves of the central system, can cause things like incontinence. Another one is pancreatitis. Now, of course, we know that there again, a person does not have to drink alcohol to have pancreatitis, but 60% of the pancreatitis cases are from alcoholic consumption. Raises the question, what is a biblical attitude towards our body? When we think about how this substance can have such an impact on our body, and this is only a partial list of the physical effects of alcohol use. So what is a biblical attitude towards our body? Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Well, let's back up to verse 21, verse 20. We're still kind of jumping into a conversation here, middle of a thought, that we are we're built up and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we're fitly framed together unto a holy temple in the Lord. Fitly framed. If you recall, we used to have a sidewalk going between our house and the church, kind of like a private sidewalk that only the Vols could use, or special guests of the Vols, or friends of the Vols, or church members. We took out part of that, and what it made us do is we had to change the cement blocks that we had laid down, the paving stones. So earlier this week, or last week, end of last week, I'd rented a saw and I was cutting the pieces and fitly framing them together. Cutting this piece, cut this one too short, cut that one too long, got the wrong angle, whatever, and played around with it, fitly framed them together, put them together piece by piece. And our bodies are to be fitly framed together with each other, growing into a holy temple for the Lord. And we see that we're built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And then we cross-reference this with the familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And we're reminded again, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in the context of this passage, is speaking about meat, eating meat, but it's also speaking about fornication. But we know that we can extend it beyond that to anything that would damage this body. We'll back up to verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, ye are not your own. So what's the biblical attitude towards our body? Well, one, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we see that it doesn't belong to us. We have no right to abuse it with such things as alcohol. So it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives in our body. We are to treat it carefully. We also see that we are to glorify God in our body, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Or to glorify him in our body. Do you think that you can glorify him when you smell of alcohol, when you're doing things that are foolish, when you're erring, when you're leaving the path of righteousness, as we looked at in Isaiah 28? Do you think you can glorify God in your body? And you know the answer. The answer is no, you can't. And don't think for a minute that you can say, well, I'm just going to take a break from my responsibilities to God, to be a living testimony, to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. We don't take breaks. We are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are His. Now, so we have to have this, we have to have the proper balance on how to use our body, what to do with it, what to ingest into it. Now, on the other hand, we're not to worship our body. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. You know, for me, my body, I think there are times when I probably should take better care of it than I do, but I just, it's a vehicle. It's to get me from A to B. It's to get me to heaven at the right time, and it's to be able to get me to enable me to do ministry opportunities, to get me around. But I'm not to worship it. Take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Again, jumping into a conversation here in the middle of a thought. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. These are those that have professed themselves to be wise, that became fools, changed the glory of God into an image made like corruptible men. So God gave them over up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Now that can go a few different ways. The creature more than the Creator. That could mean this world. They worship this world, the streams, the mountains, you know, those that are absorbed with the physical creation of the world, and yet they've neglected their own soul. You know, those types. Or we could even say that the creature would even be ourselves. They worship the creature more than the Creator. We are a creature. We are one of the created ones. And we are not to worship ourselves. We're not to be so fastidious about this body. You know, I know people that it is their full-time occupation dealing with this physical body. It's their full-time occupation. It is their number one hobby. It is their number one thing that they want to talk about. You know, it's all-consuming. And we're not to worship this thing. It is a vehicle. It will get rust on it. And you'll want to spray paint it sometimes. The rust spots, if you can't grind them down. We try to upkeep it and do the things we need to do to it. But we're not to worship it. We think of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The context here is speaking about those that will give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. We pick it up in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. We see here that bodily exercise profiteth little. Now some would take this verse to say, okay, see, I should never have to exercise because it doesn't profit. Some others would say, well, the scripture says it profits little. I think there's a balance. There's some people that, like you look at Brother Jeremy. Do you think he needs to work out? Do you think he needs to get on a treadmill? Probably not. He has a very active job. He's in, you know, very good shape, right? I can say that he's not here. But he doesn't need to be on a treadmill. He's in great shape. People that live on a farm, that are splitting wood, that are, you know, shoveling snow, whatever. They have a way to stay in shape. On the other hand, someone that is maybe works out of an office and they've got a very sedentary lifestyle, they don't have much, maybe they need to get on a bicycle. Maybe they need to do something that would improve their physical condition. So there is that balance, so that we take care of this body, but we don't abuse it. So as we think back to the whole thing of alcohol, that abuses the temple of the Holy Spirit, that hastens our death, that hastens chronic health conditions. That's not part of God's plan. Now let's go back into our text. We're going to be wrapping up here just with one point here. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little and there little. One thing we notice about those that are alcoholics, those that use alcohol chronically, is that they are not teachable. You see that the Lord asks this rhetorical question, who shall he teach knowledge? And he's essentially saying, they won't take it. They won't listen to it. They're carried up in their own garbage. He says, who will I teach knowledge to? I'll teach it to children. That's what he says here. Who shall I make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Those that have not yet gone down that path. You know, that's, I've mentioned sometimes, a few times, that I have a burden to start doing some programs for children. And I am working on that. And I hope to start some programs in the future. And that is one of the reasons, is because I see that so often adults have already made some major mistakes in life, and they're on the wrong path, and they're not, often these unbelievers are not teachable. And so this is one of the side effects, one of the diseases of alcoholism. And just one verse in closing, you don't have to turn, I'll just read it for you. In Hosea 4:6, the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. When a person is not teachable, they lack knowledge, and as we see in this verse here, I did kind of say this here verse, but I wasn't, you know, going American on you, sorry. As we see in this verse here, people are destroyed from lack of knowledge, and it's because they have rejected knowledge. It's not because God has chosen not to give the knowledge. It's because they've rejected it. And so he said, okay, fine. If you were going to reject my knowledge, then yes, I will shut. I'm not going to teach you. But if a person is willing to be taught, he will teach them. So that's, again, one of the side effects of alcoholism. Okay, well, let's close the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to have a godly, consistent application of how to use our body, what is right to ingest into it, what is wrong. Help us to understand the use of substances like alcohol is decidedly wrong and causes us to sin. And Lord, we pray that each one of us would stay far from it, Lord. We'd never, even in the moments when we're by ourselves and we have the opportunity, we would not partake of it. And we ask the Lord now that you go before us, we spend time in prayer. Pray that you would make us mindful of those requests that we need to bring before your throne. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.